Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. From all sin and shame, oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, and He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath brought in my lowly station, since my soul has received full and free salvation. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him how wonderful this Savior is. From all sin and shame, oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. 'Cause He's wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's a Counselor and the Prince of Peace. A mighty God is He, and He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor and Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, and He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Amen. You love Him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. He's certainly good to us, isn't He? Amen. Want to remember Brother Yarborough in prayer tonight. He's they did a procedure yesterday to put a defibrillator and pacemaker, and he was going to try to make it to church tonight, and I thought that I don't know how he's going to do it. I sure wouldn't try to do it, but I think he's feeling a little too tired to be up to it. So want to remember him in prayer this evening, and just that the Lord give him a complete recovery. And also, Sister Felicia, she's had a headache for 3 days now, so I want to remember her in prayer. And how many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Layton, would you just come lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen.
Shall we pray?
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we humbly approach that throne of mercy where we can find grace, Lord Jesus, you've heard the two requests read here for our brother Yarbrough, Lord, and we've been praying for him, but Father, we continue to hold him up before you, that you would just give him a quick healing and quick recovery, and may everything be just perfectly fine. And then for Felicia, Lord, these headaches, we know of many that seem to suffer with them, but Father, you are our healer, and you know all about it. Oh, Lord, just come on the scene for her. Not only remove the pain, but the cause of the pain. Then, Father, for each hand that went up, you know every need behind every hand. You know the loved ones that are lost, that people cry out for, that to have you bring them in, Lord, and we know that you'll work it out in your own perfect will. And for the sick and the afflicted, Lord Jesus, for we know that our enemy is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but we know that you are the victory and you're our healer. Then, Lord, for the different services that's going on at this time around the city, Lord, over at the Branham Tabernacle where they're meeting, may you just, your holy presence be there with them as they hear the word there. And over at Brother Collins's, may you be with them. And then, Father, we've invited you in here, and we ask you to come and do the same here. Walk up and down the aisles and between the pews and anoint the speaker and anoint thy word and anoint our ears and our hearts that we will hear and receive. And, Lord, may the lost be saved and the backsliders be returned, and those that are seeking the Holy Ghost be filled. May the oppressed and the depressed be delivered. And may the rest of us be that have the Holy Ghost, Lord, may you refill us again tonight. And just bless our souls, oh my Lord, we ask. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask all of this in the highest name and the most precious name there is, that name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and our Savior. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. And Sister Rachel Cathy has a special for us tonight.
Hear him say.
Aren't you glad he's with us every step of the way? Page 698, if you want to turn to that. Had this song on my heart, didn't know exactly how it would fit in, but sister singing about the valley and the test. God's the same whether you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountaintop. God is God. If the brothers would come as we sing this song. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Oh, but then things change and find you're down in a valley. Oh, don't lose faith, child, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, he's still God in your valley. And when things go Nathan preached Sunday morning on a message called The Great Emancipator. And sister asked me before service, are you going to teach us a new song tonight? And I might just do this. I thought everybody knew this one, but Brother Furman said you didn't. So here we go, page 373. If you do know it, help me out. I had the privilege of going to Romania a few times, and I thought, I came back and I was telling everybody, I went over just probably 8 years after communism fell in Romania, and to hear the Romanian people stand and sing this song after knowing what they went through under the communist dictator, I came back and told folks, I said, you haven't heard this song sung until you've heard it sung by Romanians that were under communist regime. Well, Brother Hunter set me straight. He said, no, Brother Hoover, you haven't heard it sung until you go into the Pendleton Reformatory in Pendleton, Indiana, and hear men that are on death row are in for life, and they stand and sing it. He said, then you've heard it sung. Now listen, we're just as redeemed as the Romanians, and we're just as redeemed as those men on death row. We may not have been under the sentence that they were, but we were under a worse sentence. We were under the sentence of damnation in hell. And Jesus Christ came to set us free. But I'd like for you to stand, and let's sing it as if we're the redeemed of the Lord. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now you've got the words in front of you. It's 373. I want you to sing it as unto the Lord tonight. I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His holy name. There's not another name more holy than that. He's the great emancipator.
Prove tonight that I'm nicer than Brother Hoover is, because I ran across that song when I was studying for the sermon Sunday morning. I thought, no, that's too hard. I'm not going to throw that on the musician's last notice, but he did anyhow. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together before we change the order of the service. Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then, I've had a lot of heartache, had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, but when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, he's trying to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, yes, there's nothing in the world that could ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, but when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his fire. Then and there I would say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Is that how you feel about it tonight? Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, yes, he offered everything. It's got a name, all the wealth I want, and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I'd want, and some worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Let's sing it this way again together. Oh, there's nothing in the world that'll ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, but when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his fire. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, yes, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Even though the devil tempts me, he's tried to turn me around. Oh, yes, he's offered everything. He's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. Well, God bless you this evening. Certainly good to be in service to worship the Lord together. And just want to welcome all of our visitors with us tonight, and hope you just feel welcome. And all you home folks, hope you feel welcome too. Appreciate you all as well. And want to look at a topic tonight with the help of the Lord, and you just bear with me tonight. I'm very conscious that I have friends and family that probably won't agree with the thought that I'm bringing tonight, that there's many minister brothers that won't agree with it in the way that I'm presenting it. There may even be some of you sitting here tonight that don't agree, or that maybe you do agree. Maybe you don't know if you agree or not. Maybe you're kind of trying to decide still what you believe. But I've got to preach what the Lord lays on my heart, and I've got to preach my convictions and what the Lord shows me. I can only preach what I can see. I can't preach what somebody else can see. So you pray for me tonight, and if you do believe it and see it the way that I'm preaching it, maybe just amen a little louder tonight to make up for the rest of them. St. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, and being in torment and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to look at this thought tonight, I just ask that you give me strength, give me wisdom. Help me, Lord, just to approach this in a way that would be pleasing to you. Help us to look at it, Lord, not just through the opinions of man or maybe some of the things that we've been taught, but may we go back to your word and look at your word again tonight, Lord. May we look at the message, look at the scriptures. Lord, help us to find a balance in these things, Lord, because we believe that there's a middle of the road to anything that we would be looking at, whether it be a doctrine or a scripture, or a quote, whatever it would be. Father, our desire tonight would be to find the middle of the road, Lord, in your word, Father. Just be with each one that's represented here tonight, Lord. Maybe many needs represented. Lord, may you just minister to those needs tonight, Lord. And Lord, if there's any sick amongst us, Lord, may they be healed by the time they go out tonight. Lord, may you just come in a mighty way. Lord, and any that needs prayer, Lord, may you just answer prayer tonight, Father, we pray. Lord, as Brother Hoover was singing, you're the same God on the mountain that you are in the valley, Lord. Maybe there's some here tonight that they've just went through a valley and they're standing on the mountaintop looking back and they can rejoice and see where you brought them from. Maybe there's others still in the middle of the valley, Father, and going through trials and tribulations. And Lord, they're seeking help, Lord, from you. I just ask that you'd be with each one, whether they're rejoicing, whether they're mourning, whether they're seeking, whatever it would be tonight, Lord, may you be with them in a way that only you can, Father, and we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Because God sent us a prophet and we're able to look at these things in a little bit different light than maybe some would, we're able to recognize that this great gulf that Abraham is speaking about here is the difference between the fifth and the sixth dimension. There, Lazarus laid in the sixth dimension, and here, the rich young ruler being in the fifth dimension, he couldn't cross over and be a part of where this saint of God was. And Brother Branham says it this way in present stage of my ministry, 1962. He says, and now in this vision, he's talking about beyond the curtain of time. He said, I believe I was caught to that sixth dimension, looking back here and could see back. So here he was standing in the sixth dimension, but you remember he could look back and see himself laying there on the bed in the dimensions that we live in. And in this parable that Jesus tells, Lazarus and the rich young ruler, they can't go to one another. They're in two different dimensions. But the rich young ruler, even though he had lived his life the way that he wanted rather than the way that Christ had told him to do, he suddenly wants to become a missionary. And in St. Luke chapter 16, verse 27, he says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. If Lazarus can't come to me, then send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now he's wanting to be a missionary. He's wanting to send Lazarus and tell them, you know, look, we don't come here. If there's any way that you can prohibit it, don't come to this place where I am. You go where Lazarus is. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Now, Brother Branham says it this way in Unbelief Does Not Hinder God, 1962. He says, in the last day, what it takes, going to take to stand is a scriptural trained church. So we want to be a scriptural trained church, not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, but we want to be a scriptural trained church. He says, on the line, for there's going to be carnal impersonations rise. Now, we've been looking for some months now on this thought of speak the word, and we've been looking the last few weeks at Brother Branham's ministry and different doctrines that he taught and different things that that happened in his ministry and miracles and signs and wonders and speaking of the word. And I want to look at it from a slightly different angle tonight as far as speaking the word. And I want to look into the tent vision. I know that's very controversial, and you just put on your seatbelts and come along for the ride with me tonight and pray for me if you don't mind. What is a vision 1956? I want to read you a quote where he refers to the tent vision. He says, just then I felt myself go higher, way up. And when I was set down, there I was beneath and standing up above a great tent. I never seen such a tent. Now, there's some brothers in the message that they use this right here to say there couldn't be a tent because Brother Branham said he never seen such a tent. But I think that's a little bit ridiculous to take that stand on it, that, you know, that that's their reasoning. Because if you go back and look at other things that he said, I never seen such a this or I never seen such a that, it was obvious that he was seeing it then, but he never before had seen something like that. So he says, I'd never seen such a tent. And I just made an altar call, seeming like, down at the altar. And when I was down there, I looked and there were hundreds of people standing around the altar weeping because they had accepted the Lord Jesus. And they were just weeping out loud. And I said, oh, that's more like it, like that. And a real kind gentleman walked out to the platform and said, while Brother Branham's resting just a few moments, he said, we'll call the prayer line. And he said, everyone with the prayer cards beginning with a certain number, stand over onto the right. Well, I noticed the prayer line seemed like it went all around the tent and out and down the street, such a prayer line. And I looked over, which was then to my left, and there it would be to my right if I was standing on the platform, would be that way. There's a piece of canvas stretched there, and in behind this canvas was a little square building about 12 foot across and 20 foot long, something like that. Well, I stood and looked at that. And I seen them bringing a lady up on a stretcher, and there was a lady there taking her name and things on a paper. And so there was someone come and got her and pushed her through. And the next man come through was with crutches. I seen them go through that little building. And on the outside, the lady come out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing this stretcher. And then there was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman. And she said, what happened? She said, I just don't know. She said, I couldn't tell you what happened. She said, I've been paralyzed for 20 years, and looky, I feel like I never was sick. And just then, out come the man leaping and jumping with his crutches in his hand. And I looked at that, and just then, now here's something, notice close, there's a difference, he says, between the angel of the Lord and that light. Because I heard something a moving, as it does when it comes here at the platform at night, kind of like a, and like a fire whipping around, licking blaze. And it left me, and it went right down over the top of that audience and went and stood over the top of that little building and then settled down on top of it. And then when it did, this one that was standing behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice, he said, I'll meet you in there. And this is the third pull, but nobody will know nothing about it. And I said, well, I don't understand. Why in there? Why there? He said, it will not be a public show this time. And I said, I don't understand going into that closet like that. And he said, is not it written by our Lord, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites who like to be heard before men, but enter into the secret closet and pray to the Father who seeth in secret, and he who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly to the scripture every time it is. And I said, I understand. And he took me to this place and set me down in this room where I was at. And then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, Christian friends, when I leave this world, that'll still be in my bosom. That's what he said about it. That's what he said it would be. That's what he said would take place. That was what the vision was. Now, I want to look at some other things that he said. And I know there's been quote books made about this, pro and con, and there's different opinions and different views and different things that is said. But I don't want to look at opinions or views or different things that are said. I want to look at what the Bible and the message says. And I don't want to look at, you know, I know there's a lot of different ideas and there's a lot of different doctrines and you know, the lot that follow the return ministry. I can tell you tonight, I'm not a return ministry person because Brother Bram never says the words return ministry. You can go search it. He never says it. He never says return ministry. He talks about the tent vision, but he never says the word return ministry. And I know there's brothers that they think they're going to have a plane and they think they're going to have this and they think they're going to have that and a hot dog stand and different things. I don't want to make fun of those brothers, but he told me to say what the tapes say. He didn't say what brother so-and-so said, or say what brother so-and-so said, what brother so-and-so said, or how is it going to be, or I think it's going to be this way, or I think it's going to be that way. He said it won't be a public show this time, and there won't be anybody that knows anything about it. So we want to look at what he said tonight with the help of the Lord. He swore by himself in 1954. He said, someday it's going to be over. I'll preach my last time and close that old Bible for the last time. That's right, or one of them. That's right, I'll sing my last song, I'll preach my last sermon, I'll pray for the last sick person, I'll do everything. One time will end it, and I'll never be mortal no more. Now, I don't know about you, but when Brother Branham comes back, people say, are you looking for Brother Branham to come back? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking for him to come back. I'm looking for Paul to come back. I'm looking for my grandma to come back. I'm looking for all the sainted dead to rise. I'm looking for him to come back. Now, there's some that they try to make all these quotes and all these scriptures line up, and the only way they can get it to line out just right is for him to have his own private resurrection prior to the resurrection. But there's just one problem with that. The Bible never promises that, and Brother Branham never promised that. Neither was he looking for that. But yet, he was looking for a resurrection. He was looking for the dead in Christ to rise. Will Brother Branham return? Absolutely. And millions of other saints. Down through the church ages, the dead in Christ shall rise. Now, when he comes, though, he won't be mortal. You're only mortal once. If you're mortal, then you can die again. So if he comes and raises again, he's mortal, then somebody could go and kill him again. But he says, I'll preach my last sermon. I'll never be mortal no more. Now, the seven church ages, 1954. I hope you don't mind me reading one from way back in 1954 because I'm going to read it anyhow. But Brother Bam says, God, raise up ministers everywhere. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and send them forth preaching. Oh, surely he didn't say that. Yeah, that and about 20 other pages of quotes that I have like that. Send them forth preaching, Lord, like firebrands. He says, we don't know what hour. We only pass this way once. We're only mortal once. And thanks be to God for that. But the next life, we'll not preach the gospel in the next life that is to come. Now, you can tell me what he said and not tell me what he meant, or you can try to come up with your own conclusion, but I find it interesting that a lot of people that are so against the ministry, they say that, don't tell me what he meant, just tell me what he said, until you begin to read quotes like this about the ministry or that don't agree with their doctrine, and then suddenly they want to tell you what he meant. Amen. We'll not preach the gospel in the next life that is to come, but we'll rejoice in the gospel with them of the ages who's accepted it, with the head captain, our Lord Jesus, who's all worthy, and all praise be to him forever and ever, amen. And knoweth it not, 1965. I see my ears creeping up, my shoulders stooping, and I know 30 years here in this platform. Yeah, 33 years here on the field. That's a long life. That's 33 years of service. Only regret I have is that I didn't have 133 years of it. For this will be the last opportunity I'll ever have while here, mortal, to preach the gospel. God's Power to Transform, 1965. I hope you don't think I stand here just to say these things to be different. I say it because of love. I hope you feel the same way about me tonight. I don't stand here just to say these things to be different. I say it out of love. Why? Because we've got to be a scripturally trained church, he said. He says, and knowing that it's while I'm mortal as I am now, is the only time I'll ever be able to preach to people. All right. 1965, after the seals, whatever your argument or your beef is or whatever, this is what he says. While I'm mortal, as I am now, is the only time I'll ever be able to preach to people. And he says, it'll only be mortal once. He says that that's the only time once that stops, no more preaching. So, you know, there's statements that are made, and brothers, they can't decide whether the word has really been revealed or not. They can't decide whether the word's really been restored or not. They can't decide whether we really have the fullness of the word or not. And so they go back and forth. Well, it might be fully revealed on the tapes, or we might be looking, we might be waiting for him to come back. But I don't want an opinion. I don't want an idea. I don't want a circumstantial evidence. I want to say what he said about it. I want to look to what he taught us and what the scripture taught us, because we must have a scriptural foundation. If it's anything that we're going to teach, anything that we're going to stand on, it can't be my opinion. It can't be Brother Layton's opinion or Brother Hoover's opinion, Brother Arnie's opinion, any other manly, godly man that would be. I appreciate them. But when it comes to opinions, we can't preach opinion. We have to preach what the Word of God says. And it can't be a quote isolated over here or a scripture isolated over there. It must run in continuity. Continuity, not a contradictory, Genesis to Revelations 47 to 65. Now, was Brother Branham looking for a physical tent? Absolutely. Hidden Life with Christ, 1956. I'm borrowing $100,000 to go with this tent. That means I believe what I'm talking about. Again, in Hidden Life with Christ, and I was all fixed up and was going to go to Phoenix for my first meeting. Here he was trying to purchase the tent. He actually did purchase the tent and had the tent for a while, but then one of his managers sold it out from under him. Here he was getting ready to head to Phoenix. And then about 2 days after that, the Lord revealed to me, he said, I never told you to go to Phoenix in that vision. Now he's talking about the tent vision. I never told you to go to Phoenix in that vision. Oh, here it is. Now brothers can say, oh my, see, it wasn't Phoenix. It's going to be Jeffersonville, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. Well, what did he say? It was amongst dark people. Old Mexico. I thought, well, praise the Lord. Just exactly, you know, God, his sovereign grace will override our mistakes and our ignorance. I'm so thankful that we serve a God like that. If he didn't override my mistakes and my ignorance, it'd just be a mess, is all I can say. Present stage of my ministry, 1962. So far as I know, that every vision that he's ever given me has been fulfilled, except the one that I'm a change in my ministry to where I'm to pray for people in a little place, like a little room under a tent or a big auditorium or something like that. It looked to me like a tent. You remember that 2 or 3 years ago, most all of it was brought to pass. That's what he said. That's not my opinion. That's not some brother that shook hands with him in 1962 and said that he said that she said, and a sister had a dream, and somebody saw a postcard, and somebody saw this, and somebody saw that. That's what he said. Most all of it was brought to pass. I was to go down in Mexico and how it would rain that night and what would take place down there. Now, most of it has taken place in 1962, but he's still waiting for a time when he's going to go into this little room that the angel told him. He said, you wait down there. And he says, every vision that he was aware of, any vision that he had, he should have been the one that was aware of. Every vision that he was aware of was fulfilled by 1962, except this vision where the angel was going to meet him in this little room. And most of it was brought to pass down in Old Mexico. Now, you say, well, oh, but Brother Nathan, I've talked to some of these brothers, and he's still got to come, and he's still got to shoot the brown bear. And he's still got to come, and he's got to preach to 300,000 in India. You better go back and read the message a little further. This is what he said. Every one of them had been fulfilled, except that one where there's a precious brother that I know right here locally, a minister brother, that he's still looking for Brother Bram to come back and shoot the brown bear in a glorified body. Well, that's his opinion, but that's not what Brother Branham said. Countdown, 1962. And I find out if God has spoken anything, then we must go with that word in order to make it be fulfilled. Now, he's preaching present stage of my ministry, 1962, September the 8th. And then the very next morning, September the 9th, he's telling this story. This is after the vision of the bear, after the vision of India, after the vision of Africa, all these different things. And yet he stands in 1962, says, every vision that I know of has been fulfilled except the one where I'll meet The angel said he'd meet me there in the little room. You say, how was India fulfilled? The angel told him there'd be 300,000 in that meeting. We know for a fact there was at least 500,000 in one of those meetings when he went to India. I'm not looking for him to fulfill it. It's already happened. What is it? Many of them look, and they're looking like many of them was standing there saying, well, I guess John's not going to die until he sees him coming in his glory. And John had already seen him coming in his glory 6 days later on Mount Transfiguration. I find out if God has spoken anything, then we must go with that word in order to make it be fulfilled. We've seen that, as I told you last night, of a vision just recently. Listen how he words this. See that I had to be there. Now, he's just come back from a hunting trip to Canada when he's preaching this. This is his first meetings back in Jeffersonville. He's been up in British Columbia. And he says, as I told you last night of a vision just recently, see that I had to be there and warning to be there and telling me 6 months before to be on that spot and stand there and saying, go down there 3 times with them. And I just walked on with the other men and the vision passed through exactly God's part and I was left standing. Now, you go on YouTube and you search Brown Bear and Ed Biskell, and you'll hear Brother Biskell tell the story of what happened on this hunting trip and how that they actually saw the brown bear with the binoculars, but that Brother Bud Southwick wasn't feeling well, and Brother Branham went on with him instead of going where the angel of the Lord had told him to do. And he said when he left the camp there, Brother Branham told him, he said, I feel like a Jonah. I feel like a Jonah. Why? Because the Lord had told him 3 times, go down there, be there, and he walked right on with the rest of the brothers, and God's part of the vision passed on just exactly, and he was left standing there. So we want to remember, you've got to stay on the word. Just stay right with the word, and where the word leads, you go right with the word, and it'll bring you out all right, I'm sure. Oh, God help us to stay with the word. Now, Voice of the Sign, 1964. I wish I had a way that I could come down here somewhere and get all my brethren when they had no revivals going on, put up a tent and just sit day after day and teach it till it really soaked in. But he wouldn't permit that, I don't think. See, we're too close to the end. I believe we're right now at the end. Now, this is in 1964 after the unveiling of the seals. But Brother Branham, before the seals, had gone up to Sabino Canyon to pray. And when he goes up to the top of Sabino Canyon, many of you have been there and stood and seen there, Eagle Rock on one side, up on the other side, Pulpit Rock. And he goes up there and he lays across this great rock. He called it Pulpit Rock because it looks like a pulpit laying there. And he said he laid across it to pray. And as he was praying, he said he just reached up his hands and began to praise the Lord. And something struck his hand. And when that something struck his hand, he said he looked and it was a sword. And he described the materials of the sword and the way that it had a guard around the hand and the length of the blade and everything that it was. And he said, that looks like a king's sword. And a voice spoke back and said, it's the king's sword. Not a king's sword, but the sword of the king. What was it? The word was being placed in his hand to come back. Now, in the seventh seal in 1963, he says, now I didn't hear no voice like on the inside of me spoke. This is when he's in Sabino Canyon and the swords come down. I didn't hear no voice like on the inside of me spoke. I have to just tell you the truth, just exactly what happened. Something hit and said, don't fear. This is that third pull. This is that third pull. This is what he was looking for. What was it? The opening of the word, the unveiling of the word. The sword was in his hands and the angel comes, the same angel that told him, I'll meet you in there and it'll be something secret. It won't be a public show. It won't be a public show. It's going to be a secret. It's going to be something that you'll take to your grave, but it's going to be the third pull. And now he's standing there and the sword strikes his hand and the angels are getting ready to meet him and reveal the seals to him. He's going to come back to Jeffersonville and preach them. He's about to be caught up at Sunset Mountain. And the angel says, this is that third pull. Well, like Brother Branham said, if this isn't that, then I'll just keep this till that comes. That's what he said when they stood there on the day of Pentecost and they said, this is that which was spoken of the prophets. Well, the angel told him, this is that.
This is that third pull. Third pull, you remember it. He said, you've had so many impersonators on this, what you tried to explain, but don't even try this. Do you remember it? How many of you remembers that vision? Why, it's all over the tape and everywhere. That's been about 6 years ago or 7 years ago, been 7 years ago. Said, don't try to explain that. Said, this is the third pull, but I'll meet you in there. Again, the seventh seal, 1963, and in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today or yesterday, the other one unfolded today, and there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language, but I was standing right there and looked right straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. What did he say that seventh seal was? He said, that's the mystery of his coming. It had to be in an unknown tongue part of it, or he would have been able to tell us the day and the hour. And the Bible said, no man could say the day nor the hour. But he said, I looked right straight at it, and this is the third pull coming up. And the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. Revelations chapter 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God would be finished, not when he come back, not when somebody else rose up to take his place, not when the ministers got together and put their heads together and had a council and figured out what he was trying to tell us, not when somebody else came with a better idea. When he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. He says in Questions and Answers, Part 2, 1964, we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication. I'm not looking for more to be revealed. I love these brothers sitting here, the minister brothers that we have present. I'm not looking for one of them to reveal anymore. I'm not looking for me to reveal more. I'm not looking for him to come back and reveal more. You're not looking for him to come back? Absolutely. I'm not looking for him to come back and reveal more. He's already revealed it. The seals have been opened. The thunders have been opened. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, he said in the Church Age book that the very reason that Malachi 4 came was to do two things. And one was to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And he said the second thing that he was to do was to reveal those seven mysterious thunders. And it was those thunders that would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. So have we been restored or haven't we? Are we still waiting on a restoration? I believe I've been restored back to the truth that was in the days of Paul, the truth that was in the first church age that had been lost down through all of the dogma and all of the Catholicism and denominations, and they got so far from the truth, they had it right there on their desks. They had it right there in word form, but it took a prophet of God to come and restore us back. So if we've been restored back and it took the thunders to restore us back, then how can we be still waiting for the thunders to be revealed? I'm not very smart, but I do know that one and one is two and two and two is four. The sea does not err with the shuck, 1965. God promised rabbits in the days of Luther. He promised other things in the days of others. But now he promised us a full square meal, the full seven-course menu, for all the seven seals are open and everything is ready for the word of God to those who can receive. Now, he does say that it's for those who can receive. There's sadly many that can't receive, and they'll go back and show you quotes from the late 60s, late 62 and early 63 and try to tell you that they aren't revealed, but they won't come around and feast of the trumpets and seed is not ever the shuck and who is this Melchizedek in different places in 64 and 65 and read you the rest of the story. It's coming a time, friends, that we have to be careful what we gobble down and what we just let go in one ear and out the other and say, well, the brother's a pretty good brother, so I guess he must know what he's talking about. It's got to be a little bit more than that. There's a lot of good brothers with a lot of good intentions, but I want to stay with what the Word says. Amen. I want a scriptural trained church that if somebody was to come by and teach something false, I wouldn't even have to get up and make a scene to correct it because you all would just sit there and go, okay, we've been taught better than that. I want a scriptural trained church to where if you go on some of these websites and begin to stream what some of these brothers are saying, you won't be confused and you won't be fooled and you won't be upset and you won't have to call and ask me 20 questions because you've already been taught what the Word said. Not what Brother Nathan said, not what Brother Nathan's opinion is, what the Word said, what the message said, what the Bible said. I want to turn everything else aside and back to the Word. Away with man's opinions. Away with man's doctrines. Away with ideas and speculation. And well, it could be this, or it might be that, or I think it could be this, or brother so-and-so said it could be that. We can go back to the original source and find out what he said. Greater than Solomon is here, 1963. Man is constantly praising God for what he has done, looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he is doing. We've wasted about 40 years around the message because brothers that were supposed to be leaders and shepherds were doing this exact same thing. They were praising God for what he did back in 1956 and looking forward to what he was going to do in the resurrection, but they were failing to see what he was trying to do right under their noses. Amen. And God let that generation slowly die off, and now he's raising up men. I hope you can preach with me tonight. To recognize, it's wonderful what God did back in 1956. Thank God for it. I told a sister in an email the other day, if it hadn't been for what God did back there in the 50s and the 60s, I wouldn't have been able to answer the questions that she was answering. I wouldn't have a bit more idea than a goat. So I'm not trying to throw off what happened back in 56 and 63. I thank God for it. But don't just keep caught back there and fail to recognize that the same God is here tonight. Amen. That the same God that could heal in the prayer lines in 63 Amen. Can heal you tonight. Yes, that the same God that could discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, the Son of Man gift may not be here, but the Word of God is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart tonight. The same God that could fill with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the same God that can give unction to the apostles, he's the same God tonight. And don't belittle him by putting him in the past or shoving him way off in the future, but recognize that he's a living, present tense God that's here for our needs tonight. The message has been done a great disservice by brothers that got caught up right here, constantly looking back to what he did do and constantly looking forward to what they thought he was going to do and failing to recognize the hour that they were living in. The Easter Seal, 1965. Don't look for some great big universal something sweeping. Nothing but the coming of the Lord Jesus. Escape Hither, Come Quickly, 1958. I'm not looking for any great revival. The thing of it is, the revival has come and gone, and you didn't know it. This is the message of Malachi 4. This is the message of Elijah the prophet. We of all people should recognize what happened in our age and who it was that came in our age and what transpired. And yet so many, I wonder if they'll be sitting, scratching their heads, saying, I thought Elias was supposed to come first. The revival has come and gone and you didn't know it. It's always been that. You look for something and Satan's kept saying, there'll be greater over here, greater over there, and it's passed you right by. Did not John the Baptist come on the earth and even the righteous didn't even recognize him? Did not the disciples say, when will Elijah come? He said he's already come and you didn't know it. The revival is just about over. Don't look for nothing greater. But yet we've had dozens of them preaching that there's something greater coming. But he said, don't look for nothing greater. We've already got the greatest thing in heaven, the Holy Spirit manifesting himself in this generation. Now, I don't normally put cartoons up here, but there is a cartoon from July 22nd, 1963 of Peanuts that I thought I would share with you. And they're watching the television. It comes on. They said, there's no tomorrow. And they begin to panic. There's no tomorrow. There's no tomorrow. They just announced on TV that there's no tomorrow. Oh, there's no tomorrow. They just announced it on TV. Panic, panic, hide, flee, run for the hills, flee to the valleys, run to the rooftops. He says, somehow I never thought it would end this way. And Snoopy says, I thought Elijah was to come first. Now, this was in 1973, and I don't know how much revelation Mr. Schultz had, but he hit the nail pretty much right on the head. Be not afraid, it is I, 1961. Remember, thus saith the Holy Spirit. This isn't Brother Branham's opinion. This isn't Paul's opinion. This isn't my opinion. This isn't David Hoover's opinion. Remember, thus saith the Holy Spirit, this is your last sign. Write it in your Bibles, and if something rises beside this and greater than this, call me a false prophet. Now, my dad ran into a man down at the mall a few years ago, and my dad was sharing this quote with him. He said, you've come too late to tell me. I've already seen it in action. Now, what he's doing, whether he realizes it or not, is calling Brother Branham a false prophet. because he's got his mind wrapped so much around his doctrine and the way that he thinks it's going to be and who he thinks it's going to be and everything like that, that he has to deny quotes like this. But I don't want to deny any quote. Amen. I want to stay with what the word says. If something rises beside this and greater than this, call me a false prophet. The Queen of Sheba, 1958, I don't look for nothing else but the coming of the Lord. I believe that everything that he has promised in the scripture has been fulfilled. Flashing red light of the sign of his coming, 1963. Every milepost, everything, every needle, every compass is set straight on to his coming. We're at the end. There is nothing else that I know to happen but the coming of the Lord. Now, you ask a lot of message preachers, and they'll give you a big long list of things that they think is going to happen. And, oh my, it'll be probably about 12 weeks worth of stuff that they'll find you quotes, and they think this is still going to happen, and that's still got to happen. We're still waiting for the driverless car to get out on the highways. Brother Branham said they had it way back when he was still alive. I'm not waiting on the driverless car. Oh, we got to wait for a woman president. No, Brother Bram said it might just be the Catholic Church rising up in power. And you can look around and read the news and read your, go on Wikipedia and see who the Supreme Court justices are right now that make the laws of your land. And you'll recognize she's risen up in power. Amen. I'm not waiting for this and waiting for that and waiting for that. He said, there's nothing else that I know to happen but the coming of the Lord. That was in 1963. How much closer are we now? The entombment, 1957, Jesus, in the last hour or two of his life, many, many prophecies were fulfilled. Someone said to me, Brother Branham, this has to happen, and that has to happen. I said it could happen in an hour. Everything left to take place could happen in an hour. Now, that may not fit your theology, and that may not fit what some of your pastors taught you before you came here, but that's what he said. It could happen in an hour. What are you waiting on, Brother Nathan? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a tent? Are you looking for Brother Bram to come back? Are you looking for more to be restored? What are you looking for? Whatever God wants to do, I'm fine with. Whatever God wants to do in the resurrection, I'm absolutely fine with. If he wants there to be a physical canvas tent in the resurrection, I don't have a problem with that. But I've also got to take all these other things that Brother Branham said. And I'm not depending and resting and waiting and looking. I'm trying to live a life to where it could happen in an hour. Right. The coming of the Lord could happen in an hour. Our body change could be here in an hour. And God say, look, it's time. You say, well, I'm still waiting on this and I'm still waiting on that. He wasn't back in 63. God can do, if there's still, you know, he said almost all of it was fulfilled already way back there in Hidden Life with Christ, 1961, I believe it is. And then more was fulfilled there when the angel came down Sabino Canyon, the sword, and he explained all that. We just read that, looked at that. I'm not looking for a whole lot else to happen. I'll be honest with you. That's my opinion, but I've got to take what he said, whether it's for a tent or against a tent, or is it a possibility or isn't a possibility. I want to take everything that he said. The problem is you get around some brothers and they'll only show you the quotes that fit their idea and their opinion. And well, this is how we think it's going to be. So look at these 10 quotes. Well, praise the Lord. Look at these 12 over here. I want to take all that he said. And if there's still something left to be fulfilled, that for that vision to be completed, and God says during the resurrection, look, this has got to take place, folks. So just sit by and wait until this is over. I have no problem with that. Whatever God wants to do is fine with me, but I'm not putting my hopes way off in the future somewhere waiting for something that he didn't promise for us to come. Right. He didn't promise us a return ministry. If God wants to do it that way, if that's what it's got to take to fulfill the rest of the vision, I don't know. That's fine. That's up to God. But I'm looking at what's been promised to us, and he said it could happen in an hour. Identification, 1963. Everything, to my opinion, my humble opinion, is just in the condition for the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the next thing, and all that lacks could happen within an hour. You say, Brother Nathan, I don't agree with that. Well, that's what he said. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading you what he said tonight. Amen. I'm not trying to throw opinions and ideas at you. I'm open to whatever God wants to do. I'm trying to show you that just because you've been taught something, just because you've been shown a handful of quotes, there's other things that the Word says too. I want to take all of what the Word says. I want to be ready and watching, not waiting for, oh, well, when brother so-and-so comes and he begins to do this and he sets up this and this one does this and that one comes and the resurrection takes place and all this. I don't want to put all my getting ready for then, because I'll tell you, if you wait to get ready till then, you'll miss it. There'll be millions times millions and billions. The Pope's going to miss it. The president's probably going to miss it. Most of the politicians will miss it. It'll go right over the top of their head, but there'll be a group of people that begins to see the resurrected ones come, and they'll begin to recognize, you know what, that looks just like grandma's picture when she was about 18 years old. That looks just like this one's picture when they was about 18 or 20. We'll begin to see it. We'll begin to recognize what's taking place. How long is it going to take, Brother Nathan? How long are we going to be here? What's going to transpire? One brother said a month or so. What do you think? One brother said 30 to 40 days. One brother said this. One brother said that. Well, as far as I can tell, Brother Bram said in one place a month or so. He doesn't ever say 30 to 40 days, but he does say a month or so. Another place he said within just a few minutes. So you know what I believe? Somewhere between a few minutes and a month or so, we'll be seeing the resurrected loved ones. People want to divide over quotes and say, well, this is what I believe right here, and everybody else that don't see it, my way is lost. What about the other quote? You going to throw it out in the trash? No. Sometimes we isolate things down. We try to figure out so much. You got to give God space to move a little bit. You got to give God a little bit of space for us to have faith and for God to do things so we don't have it so figured out that, you know, it's like a sitting there and marking off of a calendar saying, well, this is step A and this is step B and this is that. It takes a little bit more revelation than that. It's not just arithmetic, but what is it? The unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us, and He still leads us and guides us. And He still uses men, and He still uses women. It's still God working through the body. I know that's not popular, and I know people don't like it, but it was the apostolic way, and we're supposed to be founded on the apostolic foundation of the doctrine of the apostles, and I'll take what they said about it over somebody else's opinion. And if they had prophets in their day, then I believe we should have prophets in our day. And if they had preachers in their day, then I believe we should have preachers in our day. And if they had pastors in their day, then I believe we should have pastors. And if they had teachers, we should have teachers. And if they had evangelists, we should have evangelists. If they had apostles or missionaries, whatever you want to call them, we should have them. If they went to church, we should go to church. Amen. If they praise the Lord, we should praise the Lord. Amen. If some of them spoke in tongues, then it shouldn't offend us if some of us spoke in tongues. Amen. If some of them shouted, it shouldn't offend us if some of us shout. Amen. If some of them got excited, and if some of them fell asleep and fell out of windows and the dead was raised, it shouldn't shock us when things like that take place in our day. It shouldn't shock us when the sick are healed and when the bodies are changed and when the people begin to get revelation and when they begin to have sin begin to drop off of them, the things that they used to do, but you recognize a change in their life. That shouldn't shock us. That's the book of Acts. Amen. Amen. We've been restored back.
Right.
He didn't bring something new and say, this is the new pattern, this is how you do it. Forget this book here and throw away that pattern. He restored us back to what this was. Amen. Sadly, a lot of people around the message need to go back and read the book of Acts and see what was actually taking place. That's what we were supposed to be restored back to.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. I want all the Word. I don't want an isolated quote over here or a brother's opinion over here or a speculation over there. I want to take all the Word that says, all that the Word says, all that the Bible says, all that the message said. All truth is mine. If Wesley taught things that were true, that portion of truth is mine. If Luther taught things that are true, that portion of truth is mine. But I'll tell you right now, even though they were messengers and even though they were reformers, they didn't make it all the way to the truth that we have today. There was a lot of things that was still needed to be restored back. Many of them didn't even have water baptism right. We wouldn't have even considered them getting to first base, but from just coming out of the Catholic Church, they had come quite a ways. But it was a reformation that had to bring them out of those dark ages, but they hadn't had a complete restoration. I thank God that we've had it in this day. I thank God for eyes to see it and ears to hear it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of William Branham. We was at a place the other day, and somebody, I think it was at a car wash, a guy we ran into, and I couldn't remember where he worked. I thought he worked at a car dealership, but he worked down here at Kutz's funeral home, and I've seen him at a lot of funerals and things. He said, oh, you're a Branhamite, aren't you? I said, well, we follow Brother Branham's ministry. If they want to call us a Branhamite, that's all right with me. They would have called me a Mosesite or a Paulite or a Noahite or something else, but we're really a Jesusite, but we follow those men that Jesus used. Amen. If I would have been in Moses' day, I would have followed him right out of Egypt. And they could have said, you're following a man. I could have said, yeah, I was following one the other day that was beating me and had me chained to him. But now I'm following one that set me free. Amen. I would have followed Noah right up the ramp into the ark. And they could have said, you're following a man. I would have said, yeah, you follow yours to the bottom of the water. I'm following mine to the top. Everybody's following somebody. Amen. I'm just glad to be following a vindicated prophet in this age. Amen. But why? Because he followed Christ. Amen. If he would have led us to a cult or an idea or a man-made something, we couldn't have followed him. There would have been no scriptural basis for it. But what he pointed us to was he pointed us back to Calvary. Every Old Testament prophet pointed forward to Calvary, and every true New Testament prophet will point us back to Calvary. Amen. He pointed us to Calvary. He didn't point us to himself and say, hey, look what a great guy I am. He pointed us to Jesus Christ. And I can say tonight, I can follow a man like that. I can follow a man that every one of his teachings, I can take it back and show it by the word. There's a lot of guys out here, we could call their names for an hour, different ones, denominational, message, whatever you want to, whatever they are, whatever their flavor or color or shoe size, that I can't take back and prove everything they're teaching by the message in the Bible. But this man's word, I could take his message back and say, you know what he said about predestination? Paul taught the same thing. You know what he taught about holiness? Paul taught the same thing. You know what he taught about the serpent seed? Moses was actually the first one to teach about that, but Jesus and Paul and different ones taught about that too. The Godhead and the water baptism, all these different things that just blow the minds of some denominational people, no eternal hell and all the different things. It was right there in the Bible. But why didn't any of them come up with it? It took a prophet to restore us back. Amen. God bless you tonight. What are you waiting on, Brother Nathan? I'm waiting on a body change. Whatever God wants to throw in with that, I have no problem with. I'm not going to argue with him and say, God, that doesn't match my interpretation of the word. Whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to allow happen, if it's 5 minutes or 50 days, whatever he wants to do, I don't care. If it's a physical tent or if it's something that's already happened, whatever he wants to do, I don't care. I just want to be there. I just want this flesh to be changed, this mortal to put on immortality. But until he does whatever he's going to do, I'm just going to stay with what the word said. Amen. Amen. Not somebody's opinion, not just something because it's what we've been taught for 20 years. I want to stay with what the word says. Amen. Amen. My hopes are built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. When all around my soul gives way, my hope, how's the rest of it go? There you go. Brother Hoover will probably sing it for us, if we don't know it well enough, so. I appreciate Brother Hoover. He always keeps me guessing. That's a good thing, I guess. But amen. Brother Furman was a little late getting here from work tonight, so we asked Brother Hoover if he'd help out. Certainly appreciate it. Appreciate every one of you that's here tonight. If I offended you, pray for me. If I raised questions in your mind, feel free to write them to me. I'm not one of these guys that's going to chew your head off if you ask me a question. Amen. I just want all that the word says.
Amen.
Amen. I want to take every bit of it, not just my favorite quote or somebody else's favorite quote. I want to take all that the word says. Remember Jesus when he was walking there on the road to Emmaus, he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said. They had their favorite quotes and they had their favorite things and they had their ideas of how it was going to come. And when he came, it was completely different than what they had figured out. And he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all. It was right there in the Old Testament all along, but it went right over their head because they failed to recognize it in the simplicity that it was delivered in. Amen. I thank God for simplicity in this age. If it had been some big complicated something, I couldn't have figured it out. I would have had to have some professor or dean or something explain it to me. But I'm thankful that even a little uneducated housewife or a five-year-old child can sit down and begin to listen and understand. My 10-year-old boy, he was asking me some questions the other night after service. I thought, thank God that he's listening and he's starting to understand and hear and pick up some of these things for his own. Have questions that go along with what's being taught or the tapes that are being played. And one of the things he had asked me, I don't want to embarrass him tonight, but one of the things he asked me was about the other little boy. We talked about
about the dead boy being raised in Finland last week. And he said, what about the other boy that was hit by the car? What happened to him? And so I went back and played him the tape where Brother Branham said he was standing there. And the lady, the mother of the other child, had kept calling and calling, saying, has Brother Branham seen a vision? You know, she wanted him to pray for her little boy. And she wanted him to see a vision. He said, it doesn't work like that. I can't just see a vision. No more than one of us could go and dream a dream, you know. But he said he went into prayer, and Miss Isaacson kept coming, the interpreter there where they were at in Finland, and she said she keeps calling, asking if you've seen a vision. He said, no, just tell her to wait. And he said he went into the room, and there was a vase sitting on the table with two flowers, and one of them had laid all the way down, and one of them was laying partially down. And he said the angel came and stood beside him, and he said, what about this? And he said, I don't know, sir. And he gave him a piece of candy to eat. Now, he said, what did that have to do with it? He said, I don't know. I can't tell you. But it had something to do with it, because when he ate that first piece of candy, the flower that had laid all the way down stood straight up. And that represented the little dead boy. And the one that was laying partially down, he said, what about this one? He said, I don't know, sir. And he gave him a second piece of candy. He said it was the most bitter, nasty tasting thing he'd ever had. And he said, I started to spit it out. And the angel said, if you fail to eat that, that boy will die. And he said, I chewed it up real quick and swallowed it, and the flower stood straight up. You say, that don't make sense to me, Brother Nathan. Well, I can show you a lot of things in Scripture don't make a whole lot of sense either, but I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know what going and dipping in the Jordan seven times had to do about healing leprosy, but I believe it.
Amen.
Amen. I can't prove to you scientifically what dipping down in muddy water up and down seven times would do. If so, we could go out and heal a lot of lepers, just find them some muddy water. But it was obeying the prophet's word. And so he chewed it up, and the flower stood up, and he told Mrs. Isaacson, he said, get her on the phone, tell her the boy's going to be all right. It's thus saith the Lord. And they tried calling the house, and nobody answered. They called the hospital, and they got the little boy's room, and Mrs. Isaacson told the mother, she said, Brother Branham said to tell you, thus saith the Lord, the little boy is going to be all right. And she said, how well I know he's sitting up in bed right now. Amen. Lord willing, in October, I'm going to be there and see the place that he preached when he was there in Finland. So keep me in prayer. I booked the ticket today to go over and preach to a group of people over there in Finland that are wanting some brothers to come over and try to encourage them. So we want to do what we can. But God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, let's just worship the Lord together tonight. Amen. This is how I feel about it tonight.
Oh, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Oh, yes, I want to be ready. Lord, I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Yes, Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, oh, Brother Nathan, what if there's brothers that don't agree with you? Oh, I just want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Yes, Lord, is that your desire tonight? I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Well, I don't know how long I'll be here, 'cause my Jesus said he'd come again, but when he leaves, I will go with him. When I hear him call my name, oh, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready. just when it will take place. But I know it does not matter. Oh, if I'm walking in His grace. So Lord, I want to be whatever comes, whatever goes. Lord, I want to be ready to go. Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me. He's been my father, He's been my mother, been my sister, my brother too. Lord, you brought me. Oh yes, He's brought me from a mighty long way. Mighty long way. Oh, He's been my father, been my mother, been my sister. Tonight. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Been my water, He's been my life, my everything. Oh, and He brought me, yes, He brought me a mighty long way. Oh, yes, He's been my bread, been my water, He's been my life, my everything. Oh, and He brought me, yes, He brought me. Out of denominations or out of the world, where'd He bring you from? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. A mighty long way. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you. Oh, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I know that I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. him tonight for what he's done in our lives. Let the church say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks for all that you've done, my Lord. Oh, I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh, oh. Oh, why don't you give him a wave offering tonight? Get out your handkerchief or a songbook. Say thanks. Empty, Lord, we want to say thanks, oh thanks, Lord, I give you thanks.
My soul has found rest, oh Lord, I give you
The same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God with wonder, all too many to tell. He's the same God that rolled back the mighty Red Sea. And he's the same God who's living. He's the same God whose wonders are to be. same God who's living in me. Oh, he's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God whose wonders are too many to tell. He's the same God who rolled back same God that's living in me. Oh, he's the same God who spoke to the woman at the well. He's the same God whose wonders are too many to tell. He's the same God who rolled back the mighty. Same, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, for that Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. Are you leaving the same or are you leaving different? I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. All bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name.
Amen. After a message like that, Brother Nathan, I thought about that song as Brother Nathan was talking about it. If the people listening to the message would just go back and read the book of Acts and then ask yourself, does my Holy Ghost do what the book of Acts, oh, Holy Ghost did? If not, I need to get the Holy Ghost to the book of Acts. I know I'm not supposed to preach. Okay. I just love him tonight. When he comes down and just washes your soul with a word like that, and you just feel those Laodicean demons dropping off, and then you're just free to worship. In a presence like this, we can just worship the Lord. Because Brother Branham said, the preaching of the word drives away those evil spirits. So I don't know what's been bothering you this week. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I don't know what's been bothering you this week. I don't know what you came in here with it hanging on you or attached to you, but you're free of it tonight. Amen. You're free. You're free to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. You're free to raise your hands. I don't care what the devil tells you. I don't care what pictures he took of you this week. I don't care what lies he's told on you this week. You're free to raise your hands. You're free to clap your hands. You're free to say hallelujah. You're free to say praise the Lord. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Glory! Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the truth, Lord. Lord, we know that the truth is what sets us free, Lord. And Lord, that it's been setting us free ever since we heard it, Lord. Little by little, Lord, we're getting more freedom of spirit, Lord. And more freedom from the things that bound us down, whether it be the world or denominational ideas or whatever it would be. Father, Lord, as You unfold more and more and more of Yourself through the Word, Father, Lord, we just get deeper depths and higher heights, Lord, and recognize just how free we are, Father. Lord, we've been free, but You're just unfolding to us more and more just how free that we are.
Lord, help us not to take it for granted, Lord, but may you just be with each one, Lord, through the continuation of the week. Lord, protect them. Lord, wherever they would go, whatever they do, Lord, just keep them safe, Father. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord. We thank you for all things that you do, Lord, for we know you do all things well, Lord. Even when sometimes we don't understand, Lord, we can have an assurance of knowing that, Lord, you work all things together for our good and for your glory. Lord, sometimes in the valley it may be hard to understand, Lord, but we can have that faith and that confidence knowing that even when it looks bad, even when it doesn't look good, Father, you're working it for our good. Lord, we just ask you to be with each one, Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord. Lead us and guide us, Lord, each step of the way. If there's decisions that need to be made, Lord, may you just give us the unction of the Holy Spirit to make them, Father. And Lord, just lead and guide each aspect of our life, we pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Amen. Let's sing this together before we go. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. Oh, he's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Oh, let's sing it again together. Oh, yes, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Let's sing this together. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood. Me. Let's sing it again. Yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. Oh, yes, I know it was the blood.